Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Can I ask you guys a question that I think about almost every day? So I drive home.
So you kind of obsess on this question.
I don't obsess on it.
Sounds like you said you think about it almost every day.
But I look at it, yeah. And it boggles my mind. I think we may have discussed this at one point, but it still bothers me that on the Jefferson Memorial, which I drive by every day.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
The dome on the Jefferson Memorial, it would look normal to me if it wasn't for that one clear white strip. There's right. This one perfectly clear white strip, which looks like ivory. And then the rest of it just looks dirty and nubby. It looks like your car that has never been washed. Imagine if your car had never been washed after years of rain and going through the mud. And then you just decided to do one stripe.
Why? When did they do that?
I don't know when it...
It's been that way for a while. And look, I don't know...
Like months or years?
Months.
If not a year. I think now I could be 1,000% wrong. But what I think they've done is they wanted to test, I guess, whatever cleaning solution they used for it on that one portion. I guess they just haven't gotten around to doing the rest of it.
How can that be?
I don't know. It's weird. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I see it every day, too.
As if you painted the outside of your house.
Well, they probably
screwed
up.
And you just painted.
Maybe they did it and it took off too much or something, and they're like, ooh.
Not sure.
I don't know. If you know the reason, 800-636-1067. It's nothing I obsess about.
I haven't even
about.
Really noticed.
Well, if you take the bridge, what is the name of this bridge?
I take it every day.
I don't know.
You ever look at the memorial? Memorial?
Not really. I'm usually worried about getting over.
Well, if you just take a peek over to the Jefferson Memorial as you're heading to the GW Parkway, just take a peek. You're going to see this huge white stripe.
Yeah, I'm sure
and then
I've
just
seen it.
Dirty dome.
It doesn't register anything.
You know what? I think like most people who live here in the D.C. area, I take the monuments for granted.
Me,
I just
oh,
do.
Absolutely
I just do.
Absolutely do.
I was running in D.C.
I don't know that I've
yesterday.
Ever visited. The Lincoln Memorial, for example.
I ran by the Lincoln Memorial.
Why would you?
There were 2,000 people getting off buses.
You ran with Farley, right?
Actually, it was by myself.
Okay, because I ran with Farley one time, and I went by like every monument. Like he had some sort of route.
I went by the Kennedy Center yeah. yesterday. People come from all around the world to go to that place. I just went, it's Kennedy Center.
Right.
I go, it's Lincoln Memorial. Oh, it's the Washington Monument. I see it every day. Take it for granted.
But that
appreciate it more.
That memorial, like from a distance, for example, when I look at the Washington Monument, that doesn't look like ivory, okay? That looks like off-white.
Right.
And that's the way it's going to be. And that's probably the way that dome should be. But then they have that, it's like they put a crest white strip.
Here's
put a big crest white strip.
I have
and
the
they
explanation.
Whiten that dome.
They're felted. whoever takes
Are you
care of it,
me?
The Parks Department doesn't have the money to clean the rest of it.
Rex,
I don't know.
I have the details. They start cleaning it in September, and that was the test. And it left the pie shaped.
September, it's May.
No, the plan was to test it in September, like to go through the process and do the rest in 2018.
See, it bothers JP because he can't stand to see something that's dirty, like he's lying around the office. JP's gonna like fix up a table that has like tchotchkes on it. He's gonna arrange everything, mm-hmm. so it tilts him that he drives by it every day.
And meanwhile,
and
you've noticed it too.
I've noticed, but it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me
care
that
less
much.
About it.
It doesn't even register with me.
It's just weird to me, and I wanted to know the reason why. And of course, I wouldn't read about it. I didn't even Google it. I was just hoping, and we had a bunch of callers.
You know what I'm concerned?
I got the answer.
Here's what I'm concerned about when I drive over that bridge every day that I don't know the name of.
Yeah, it doesn't collapse.
It's that the plane that's approaching doesn't approach about a quarter of a mile short and land on the bridge. That's what I care about.
That doesn't scare me. What would scare me, and I know you're not a big Metro fan in general, is the bridges. All right, when I come in on that bridge. So if I'm leaving, I don't know if that's if I'm heading from D.C. to Virginia.
Yeah.
And you look to the left.
Mm-hmm.
To the left, you're going to see river, right?
Sure.
But you're also going to see some nubs bridges. Have you seen how rusty
those
bridges are? Like the bridge that we drive on, I think, is a solid bridge. Like if you look at
You keep thinking that.
Okay. The bridges that the Metro's on are so rusty.
Well, you see reports every year that say that the infrastructure of our country is just crumbling around us. including like thousands of bridges.
Right.
Probably some that we're driving over every single day.
So many Todds.
Yeah, so many. So many bows, bow bridges.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067.
All right, let's go to Jake in D.C. Jake, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies. How
are you? Hey, what's going on, Junk?
How are you?
Not too bad. From my understanding, the Jefferson Memorial, they had a budget, and they tried a whole bunch of cleaning solvents, a whole bunch of different tests, and they finally found, like, a laser that pretty much beams that crap off of there.
But then they just did a stripe.
Yeah, I guess they need more of a budget.
See, they're felted. I'm telling you, it all goes back to cash. They don't have enough.
Yeah, sir. Y'all,
or they're waiting for the job site.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
That was just the test.
I don't know. We talked about this last week, I'm sure. But I've been obsessing on it for about a week or so. The woman that pooped in Canada in the floor shop, right? Did we talk about it on the show?
I saw the video. It's horrifying.
I don't know that we did.
We never did.
We never did. Well, I've talked about it to everyone I know.
Because you are obsessed about poop.
It was in a florist shop?
Yeah, so, and I got the details.
Okay.
And,
Fergie was better.
Everybody has the details.
The florist was salty.
So, just Google thing. It. The woman takes a poop in a florist shop in Canada, and it's like, the first thing you say is, oh my God, and that's an insane woman. Mm-hmm. Like, put her away for 20 years, and she flings it at the guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this pulls her pants down, duties, right? I mean, it's insane. But then once I heard the details...
I'm getting reports it was at a Tim Hortons, not a florist shop. That's from Drab.
Yeah, Tim Hortons.
It sells coffee.
It's a coffee shop.
Yeah, okay, it's like a Starbucks.
Same thing. It's irrelevant. It's small detail. She pooped in a retail place. The more I found out about it, the more I feel like I kind of side with her. She had to poop. She went to the guy and said, can I use your bathroom? It's an emergency.
Right.
The guy said, no, we have a store response, you know, store policy. You have to use, and I get it. You're trying to keep the vagrants out.
Yeah.
Thing, but we have a store.
Keep
and
the she, numbers
she said,
out.
She said, no, listen, I understand that. I have to. It's an emergency.
Right.
You know how many times that's happened to me? It's happened to me multiple times where I go into a place. It happened to me the other day. I was in a warehouse district. There was no bathroom anywhere near to be seen. Okay. But all of a sudden, it was a crisis.
Right.
And I was actually picking up, what do they call those things? Like the boutonniere or whatever it is for the prom.
Yeah.
Or whatever that thing is. Right.
And corsage, boutonniere, whatever.
Warehouse district.
You went to the prom?
My kid.
I know.
And I hadn't even gotten there yet, and I just saw like a kitchen and tile warehouse place. And I walked in, and I went to the woman, and I said, I'm sorry. This is an emergency. Do you have a bathroom I can use? And she said, absolutely. And she went out, she got this key, and she went over, and she opened the door, and she was a savior.
Yeah.
She saved my day. She was a good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how normal people act. This douche denied her the ability to do what nature calls. Every once in a while, you get in this crisis situation. And he didn't allow the woman to do it. It was an emergency. We've all had emergencies. I now sympathize with
her. He was a stickler for the store policy.
Where she went the extra mile was flinging it at the guy in anger. All right, that's where she, now, funny.
You can't really side with her.
Did she have a glove on?
No, she grabbed the paper. So she grabbed the paper towel, picked it up, and threw it. Then she grabbed the paper towel, wiped her ass.
Oh.
I mean, it was unbelievable. It was the most shocking thing I've seen.
Quite
and
a scene.
I was just convinced for days that this woman was psychotic, right, and needs to be institutionalized.
She was vengeful.
But I've now come to, I actually think I would defend her. The guy didn't let her use the bathroom. She was having a crisis.
I wouldn't think, by the way, to go to a kitchen and tile place that you went to. There was no McDonald's close by.
I was in a warehouse district, and I didn't have time to get in the car and drive around. It was a crisis.
Spot. Yeah. My
it was
biggest,
either that or the parking lot.
I've said this. My biggest crisis was after taping Table Manners at Maryland Live, and we did two shows from the prime rib, and we're downing all that food. And I start driving, and my ride from Maryland Live to where I live is about 45 minutes to an hour. And right when I got to the light, before getting to the highway, all of a sudden I had just a massive wave and I had to make a decision. Can I make it all the way home or take an illegal U-turn?
Mm.
And the wave was so overwhelming.
Of course,
that
you
I
take,
had
the
to take the illegal U-turn.
You do.
And then I pulled into McDonald's. And the problem with McDonald's is they always have at least one Jordan. Jordan Stahl.
Yes. Well,
but
every McDonald's is the same.
You're rolling the dice because
it has to be open.
It has to be open. And if it wasn't open, I would have
had an accident.
When they revamped McDonald's in 2018, are they still sticking with the every McDonald's bathroom I've ever been in my lifetime is yes. exactly the same. You walk in, hand dryer on your left.
Right.
Sink on your right. Urinal, one Jordan stall. That's it. That is the setup.
They should be upgrading to two Jordan stalls?
Actually, I kind of like the setup because it's not the weird serial killer setup where you have the
one open room.
You have the door, and then you have a urinal over here.
Yeah.
And then you have just a regular toilet here.
Well, that's where you lock the door. That's called a single.
Oh, well, of course, yeah.
That's called a single bathroom.
Yeah, it's such a single bathroom. It's a terrible flawed
setup. That's what they have at like a Starbucks or something.
What are you doing?
I think they have a decent setup at McDonald's. The thing which irks me about this bathroom, and I don't even use it very often, is that the stupid hand dryer is completely across from the sink. So if you want to use the hand dryer,
the paper towels,
they should be right next to the sink.
What?
Instead, they have like the toilet seat thing. If you wash your hands,
it's two steps away from the sink.
If you wash your hands, the paper towels should be right here or right there. You shouldn't have to turn around and take five steps.
And they should have a minor design flaw.
The toilet seat thing's there.
The toilet seat thing tilts
whoever
me.
Whoever uses the toilet seat thing.
Oh, there's one bigwig here that goes in there and grabs a fistful of them.
I mean,
all the time.
If that should be inside the stalls.
I mean, how long have we been here? How long have we been in this building?
3 years.
3 years. Maybe Peter from Burke. Maybe I've taken 2 to 3 dumps in those 3 years. Never use the liner.
I do it
now. I will wipe it down.
You'll wipe it down, of course.
Vigorously.
But you don't announce.
Until my arm hurts.
With a trumpet that you're about to deuce right. by grabbing the seat thing.
Whoever designed it.
That should be a private thing in each stall.
Exactly. Should be in each stall. And the paper towel should be where that toilet thing is.
And
I've never even thought twice about where the paper towels are.
Because this is what happens. People wash their hands, and then it just drips all over until they get the paper
towels. Again, JP's so anal. He doesn't like a drip.
I'm sorry, I'm aware of things.
You care about a drip in the bathroom, the public
bathroom?
Ultimately,
I don't care.
Drip's the last thing I'd worry about in there.
I worry way more about the full house, though, of all the people lined up in the stalls when I go in.
When it's stacked full of guys dutying.
It looks like BWI. At like 1 o'clock, and there's nine planes waiting to take off on the same runway. Good
thing
Lord.
I hate those when you go to any public bathroom, and you're just going to go to the urinal. It's an easy one, and you look down at the floor.
And there's a gallon of it.
There's a gallon of it.
Right.
And like so, like you, so know, you go missing. To Montgomery Mall, like you just go there to eatery or something. You go use your Cava silly gift card, and then you have to go afterwards. Yeah, I have to go like this when I go.
You spread them like a cop is frisking you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Why does that make me think of Larry?
Oh, Spiller. CJ Spiller. Dude, you're pummeling your computer.
That's all right. He's good for a spill once a month.
Well,
here's the problem. Herein lies the rub. I figured it out, finally. He has his water or his coffee in the wrong spot. He always has it near his big, oversized cartoon-like hands.
Right.
He's got to have it off to the side.
The answer is simple, Cakes. He's clumsy. He's a klutz.
No, it's not that.
He's done this for 20 years.
He's setting up
He did that when we used to stand up at WJFK in Fairfax.
He's setting up his drink in the wrong spot.
Well, he's done it for 20
years.
It can
be easily remedied. Now he's got to go to the genius bar and get his computer. Anybody got a big bucket of rice? Or you need to throw your computer in it right now.
He never remedies it, though.
It's fine. It's fine. It's all good. Life is good.
Is the EP ruined?
No.
The board might be ruined. I mean, this expensive piece of equipment.
It's a little water.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, is Chris Russell joining us now?
I believe our Capitals
insider. He's presented by Dominion Jewelers. Custom engagement rings and jewelry in the heart of Falls Church. They make it beautiful. You make it yours. DominionJewelers.com. Hey, before we talk about the Caps game, I'll be honest. I didn't click on every tweet and follow everything, but it appeared you had some sort of an altercation with Landfill. Can you fill us in?
Sure, and good morning, fellas.
Hello, Rooster.
So, what happened was, cock-a-doodle-doo, everyone. I had to come to the radio station yesterday morning after Caps practice, because these days aren't long enough as they are. I was out of my house from 8:30 in the morning yesterday until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Brutal.
So I had to come to the radio station yesterday to handle some business, as we call it. So Landfill was enthralled by the fact that I was in a shoot. A lot of people dress up for these Caps playoff games, so the Rooster feels obligated to dress nicely. So he was sitting there with a stupid video camera while I was talking to CK right outside of CK's office. So the dummy is just recording me for no reason while I'm talking to our boss about stuff. And I just got annoyed after some point while stupid Landfill is just recording me for no reason for like 3 minutes at this point. So at some point, like I guess a A-list celebrity that I'm not, I just attacked them.
Verbally?
You went Sean Penn?
No. I mean, I went after his stupid camera.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I mean, you could see it. I get it's on Roostercast, which is apparently a Twitter handle and a website. And, I mean, they've got all this, the paparazzi and all this. I mean, I feel like, you know, I really legitimately sort of feel like, well, like a, I don't know, a G-list celebrity.
You've
or something
arrived,
like that.
Rooster.
Yeah,
it's official.
Exactly.
Yeah, good for you.
Exactly.
Well, the Caps have arrived. They've arrived at another game seven.
Ooh,
and
baby.
It took a spectacular effort, the kind of effort I'd like to see every game. And I get it. In the non-elimination game, you're probably not going to see that. But, man, that's the kind of game, as a fan, I've been looking for.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I know we were all nervous in that first period. It was, you know, nip and tuck, and you were like, oh my God, when is the shoe going to drop? And really throughout much of the second period, right? And even when they had the 1-0 lead, you were like, when is this going to happen? When are they going to tie it up? And they almost did, right? And I said at some point, even when it was 1-0 early in the third and Tampa was rocking a little bit, and quite honestly, the Caps were reeling a little bit, I said, even with that, the Caps had done so many things right that it would have been really a terrible, terrible injustice if they would have lost that game, because they did so many things right. Their intensity, their effort, they out-hit them 39-19. I don't have every statistic from every playoff game. It's so rare that you see that kind of disparity, and we're talking about bone-jarring hits in terms of not only the disparity but the type of hits, and it was from start to really finish. Brooks Orpik, Tom Wilson. I mean, Tom Wilson had a couple of shifts, guys, that I've never seen. Those two different shifts where he laid two separate hits on each shift and got scoring opportunities off of those two hits on those same shifts, if that makes sense, if I'm describing that right. It was unbelievable, and Brooks Orpik played like a man possessed, and Ovi had a bunch of hits, four total accredited. Now, he took a massive hit in the neutral zone that should have clearly been called a penalty. I do worry a little bit, quite honestly, if he's 100% going into Game 7. He only played, according to the chart, 16 and a half minutes, which is a little bit low, honestly, compared to the rest of his line. Like Kuznetsov played almost 20 minutes. I don't know if it's a mistake on the NHL play-by-play chart because they played the same amount of shifts, and he was short with the media. So, you know, which is something to monitor. I don't think anything's wrong there, but he took a nasty, nasty hit from Dan Girardi that should have, again, been a penalty. But it was such a physical game, and the Capitals, give them kudos. Regardless of what happens in Game 7, regardless of what would have happened last night if they would have lost, they gave everything they had and then some.
And Rooster, Braden Holtby was borderline spectacular, gets the shutout on home ice. And ever since he's taken over for Grubauer, he's 11-6. He's got a 2.16 goals against. He's right around 92% save percentage. He hasn't been Marc-Andre Fleury good, but he's been pretty damn good and exactly what the Caps needed, especially last night.
Yeah, that glove save he had, what was it, midway through? Early third.
Yeah,
takes.
It was about 7 or 8 minutes into the third.
Yeah, and I asked him directly after the game because they brought him actually to the podium, which is such a great idea. Get him out of that smelly locker room and away from, you know, everything. And he is like, well, it looks harder. I mean, it looks, you know, much fancier than it actually was, but it was a fantastic glove save. I haven't seen him have a glove save like that. First time, he's only the seventh goaltender in NHL history to have his first shutout of the year come in an elimination game. Think about that. Seventh goaltender in NHL history to have his first shutout of the year come in an elimination game. So that tells you everything you need to know there. Now, listen, they only had, what, 24, 25 shots on goal, did Tampa? But they tested him on a couple of those, including that glove save. And quite honestly, and I had talked about this not with you guys yesterday, but with Grant and Danny from Kettler, and there were people – at practice yesterday, and I know this, and I was disappointed with Braden after game five. In game four and game five, I didn't think he had great games. I thought he let in a couple of soft goals, and he needed a big time performance, and he was a stud last night, period.
You know, Rooster,
Need him again, you know, Wednesday night, you know, if they're going to advance.
Sorry to cut you off there, Chris. If I'm an opposing GM, I'm gonna scrape together a few bucks and make an offer for Devontae Smith-Pelly. Now, is he a superstar? No, but that's a guy who, especially during playoff time, ramps it up. He's a vicious hitter. I mean, he's going to hit anything that moves. He's always going to give you 1,000%. I mean, he came up huge with the goal last night. Now, a lot of it was Stevenson digging for the puck behind the net, so he deserves credit as well. But DSP is a restricted free agent at the end of the year. If I'm from an opposing club, I'm going to give that guy an offer because that's a guy I want in my locker room.
He's one of those guys, and it was why I loved when they signed him. I had no idea it would work out this well. And remember, he was benched at one point, or he was demoted, I guess, after being promoted because he was so good earlier in the playoffs at one point in these playoffs during the Pittsburgh series. Because remember, he went from the third line to the one line to replace Tom Wilson when Wilson got suspended, and then from the one line down to the four line because he wasn't good for two games and he took a couple of bad penalties. He was great last night outside of kicks, that goal. He had so many good scoring opportunities. Just a wonderful performance. And that pass by Stevenson, not only to win the puck battle and to outrace the Lightning defender behind Vasilevsky, but to pass that puck with that accuracy, tape to tape, unbelievable stuff. And Stevenson, I mean, I can't say enough about him, too. You know, that guy has worked on the first line, the second line, the third line, the fourth line, center, left wing. He's worked with so many different pairings and so many different guys. He just does everything that you ask of him and more. And you could not ask for a better kind of tic-tac-toe kind of combination to him and Pelly. And I'm so glad Pelly got the payoff because, again, like I said, he had two or three other opportunities before that in that game where you thought, oh my gosh, this guy is hunting out there, and one of these is going to go in. And I kept saying that to myself. I don't know if I said that on Twitter. One of these is going to go in, and I truly believe this. Sometimes good guys like that that just have a knack at this time of the year, you almost feel it. You almost see it. You almost sense it. And I kind of had that weird feeling with Devontae Smith-Pelly last night. Maybe it was me just wanting that good story because I like the guy, but I almost felt that early throughout the game last night, and I was glad to see him get rewarded.
Chris, sorry for waking you up. Go back to sleep. Catch some Z's and stay away from assaulting your colleagues.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I was actually up. I was having some equipment issues because I had to reload the equipment. But yeah, I'm good. I'm sorry for being a touch late, but
it's all
happy,
good,
guys.
Chris.
Game seven, right? I mean, you guys are fired up, right?
Caps still have life, of course.
Absolutely. So
cautiously optimistic. That's how I phrase it.
I understand that. What else could we ask for, right? Game seven.
One game away from the finals.
All right, Chris.
For the Stanley Cup.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
It's our pal Chris Russell who joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline.
All right. That was fake news.
What was?
The page.
Oh, okay.
It was all old stuff.
I'd already forgotten about
it. It was an old compilation of videos. I mean, as soon as I saw it, immediately I told Valdi, that's old. So they had compiled all the different leaks and hacks through the years. And honestly, for this poor girl's sake, please stop hacking into her phone. And the girl was like on the verge of suicide. I mean, it's just brutal what they're posting out there. Normally, I don't mind sneaking a peek, but this woman is just like, she's been traumatized
people
by
People have to back off.
Yeah, let's pick on somebody else. Back off poor Paige.
Yeah, let's pick on Awad, who's not here. He can't even defend himself.
Let's find a new diva to hack.
Yeah, let's find a new diva. That's fine. You know, one hack here or there is fine, but we can't just continually do it.
What's poor your girl. One seed now, Valdez? You got to see Tiger Woods. That was the be-all and end-all, supposedly.
I think I'm good.
Really?
I think we're good, right? Bryce.
You know what? Paulina Gretzky. Sex tape or Paige.
Paige Sporanic.
Yeah, Sporanic.
Yeah. That I don't think that's going to happen with Paige.
What if you got to see Trump Stormy?
Oh, she's gross. She popped up on one of those things.
She's gross. What about he's gross? Yeah.
Who thinks about him? He's like 100. Of course he's gross. No, she's gross. She popped up on one of those, like, you know how, like, when you're serving it, you're surfing adult content, and
for like a Live Jasmine or Cam,
like one of those Cam soda things or whatever they're called. I don't know what they are. And all of a sudden, he's like, "Hi, I'm Stormy Daniels, and stay here." And but look, and you looked at him, and oh, yeah, not attractive for me. Not
Michael
my
Jordan.
I'm
just wondering.
Yeah. No, you see, once you saw Tiger, it was like the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
That was like
you guys have been at your Mount Everest.
Yeah. I mean, everything else pales in comparison. If you're into dongs.
Celebrity sex tapes.
Yeah. But the female, the best, and we did a ranking, and you go back to the archives, you can find that for yourself. The best female one was the Paige girl. But they got to stop. I mean, the poor girl, I mean, it would traumatize her. So it would traumatize somebody else.
5 minutes ago, you go, "I'll be back with a full report."
Well, the report was that.
But I said, I hope they did. I said, I hope they didn't, but I will advertise it. Yeah. But they got to stop. They got to stop with her. So.
Cakes, you started watching the show Safe. I'd heard big things about it. And I mentioned to you yesterday, have you started watching Safe?
I'm two episodes in.
It has the guy from Dexter,
is Michael C. Hall. I think that's his name.
Now, I thought he was American because in all of Dexter, he's American. And you brought this up to Valdez. You're like, "You got to watch Safe." And he said, "I can't do it. British accents." And I'm kind of with him. Now, I will watch it because I think
he's doing a Brit accent.
You kind of mocked me yesterday. I thought you mocked me saying that he was British, but he was just acting American on Dexter.
Oh, Ricky. He's American, acting as an American in Dexter. Now he's acting as a Brit in Safe on Netflix.
I watched the first few minutes just to load it up so that the next time I click on Netflix, it just says continue watching.
Yes.
But I haven't watched a full episode. You've watched two.
Yeah. I'm 1,000% in.
Would you describe the show as a mystery?
Yeah. It's a mystery set in an affluent neighborhood in Great Britain where two teens disappear in the first episode, and then you have to figure out what's going on. That's about
sounds all. Good.
Yeah, it's really good. But Valdez can't watch it because he's an ugly American. And can't deal with a few Brit accents.
He said he can't understand them.
I'll watch it. And by the way, that's pretty. It's pretty ironic that I can't understand the accents of other people.
That's right. That's true. Can you imagine Brits coming over here and trying to understand you? Dropped in the middle of Pasadena or Glen Burnie, God forbid, how that would go. Yeah, but I recommend you watch it. Watch one episode and tell me you're not.
And you're done with Evil Geniuses.
Done.
Why? Feel like a lot of catching up.
Oh, stop. It's Evil Genius.
Okay.
Oh, hold on.
There's no.
You're done because you watched it all, or
of Evil Genius?
Yeah.
There are only four episodes.
Oh, four.
Only JP
four.
Doesn't know anything. He's given the wrong name. So many wrong episodes.
Okay, sorry. I said that I thought it was six.
It's four. Evil Genius. Four episodes.
All right.
And I'm already
so you
done.
Ripped through it.
Ripped through it. You have four episodes.
But easy.
Four episodes. I point laugh. I think Safe is either 8 or 10. So I've got a little more work cut out for me.
Right. And after that, you'll finally watch The Night Of.
Well, I'm 8 minutes into The Night Of.
He was not intrigued by it.
He's still at the party. Party.
You watched two episodes.
I did watch two. And you know what? I wasn't that intrigued.
Yeah, so it
didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. But I've heard a lot of good things about
it. I thought it was a great show.
That's personal preference.
Both of those shows, Evil Genius and Safe, I've heard a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Did you... Can you... Are you allowed? Can we talk about it, or are people going to be all upset if we do?
I don't know. I don't know how much people watched. Valdez hasn't seen any. JP's seen 30 seconds.
I finished Evil Genius.
Did they? Is it like Making a Murderer, where that you're still like these huge questions?
I haven't watched Making a Murderer.
Okay, but at the end of Making a Murderer, everyone was debating whether or not he was guilty or innocent, that sort of thing. Did they resolve it all in the four episodes of Evil Genius?
I guess they did.
I think there is a resolution, but. The main question I guess you would ask yourself is, who's the mastermind?
Well, here's my major
takeaway.
Oh, they
don't know who the mastermind
is. Well,
here's my major takeaway from Evil Genius. Everybody, and I mean everybody, at least in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is just a stink hole. It's just a pit, apparently. Mm-hmm. Everybody there is a level A hoarder. They're going into these people's homes, and like you literally have to step over mountains of trash and old milk jugs, the dog feces everywhere, old computers strewn all over the place. I mean, I'm not talking about
these
people.
Why are they going through their
homes? I'm not talking about just like a few things here and there out of place.
I get it.
Like just the worst of the worst.
Yeah, but how many homes did you see that were hoarding homes?
Three or four different ones.
Why were they going through those particular homes?
Well, I'll give you one, because a guy called up and said, yeah, I just wanted to let you. He called the police, said, hey, my name's Bill Rothstein, I believe is his name, and he's a big, giant loser, first of all. And he says, you might want to come out to my house. And they're like, well, why? What's the situation? Well, there's a body in my freezer that I put in there for my girlfriend.
That he put in there.
That he put in. He did a solid for his girlfriend by hiding.
So that's a confession right there.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there's no mystery there, EB. That's a straight up confession.
So hold on, he's turning himself in for killing somebody.
No,
he basically,
that's what you're saying.
He's basically trying to rat out his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's saying he discovered a body in the freezer.
Okay. He's the one that helped put it there. Okay, like he was complicit in putting the body in the freezer.
He did a solid for his girlfriend, so he's saying his girlfriend killed somebody.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's just what, that's not even, that doesn't even really
that's
have
a
to
side
do
story.
With the main plot of the fact that they called this pizza delivery guy out to some remote, big surprise, radio tower. Right. Radio's involved with a crazy scheme, and they locked a collar bomb around his neck and forced him go rob a bank.
I vaguely remember the story.
Yeah.
What was their plan? They're going to put the collar around the guy. He's going to go rob a bank. And did they do it simply to torture him, or did they think they were going to take it off, save his life?
No, they never. They knew that once they attached,
that he was
going to blow his stupid head off.
They knew
that. Which is what ultimately did.
Yeah, there was no way he was getting out of that.
No way. Now, he didn't know that. At first, he thought that it was possibly
a fake
until it started going beep, 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 and the beep started getting more rapid, and then he realized, oh, this is the real McCoy, and then 30 seconds later, his head's blown off.
And they showed that?
From a distance, yeah. Right at the beginning of the first episode.
That's why I can't watch it. I'll never watch it.
That's called an attention grab.
That's too much.
Yeah, it's called, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, I'm not watching that. Where did he blow up? Like while he was robbing the bank or
no,
after?
No, he got out of the bank, police apprehended him, they put him in handcuffs in front of a police car, and then they lifted up his t-shirt and said, oh my God, this guy's got a bomb
just
around
sitting
his
there,
neck.
Sitting there in the middle of the road.
And then they immediately scatter and they leave him?
Yeah, they got like 500 feet away, guns drawn, had to call in the bomb squad.
And
they
by the time the bomb squad gets there. What if the bomb squad had gotten there? Do you think they could have saved his life?
I don't know.
If they had 30 minutes.
Possibly.
I'm wondering if you and Valdez, who both watched this,
yes,
have the same theory as to who the mastermind is. He says that's what the show is all about, figuring out who the mastermind is. Who do you believe is the mastermind?
I think it was
Valdez.
Is her name Marjorie Beal Armstrong?
Margie or Marjorie.
Yeah.
All right, so hold on. So, why did they just wanted to torture this guy?
Those dummies.
Why did they do that?
They thought they were going to send him into the bank, and they were going to get away with $250,000.
And then he would just die.
Yeah, it was a form of distraction.
Yeah, I don't know what their plan was.
The plan was the donk would rob the bank. They would get the money, and then he would die, and then they wouldn't be caught
because he would be dead.
Yes,
right. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So you believe it's Margie? Who did you believe was the evil genius?
Margie.
It's obvious.
She killed four boyfriends or lovers before.
Yeah, she's lived like the Black Widow.
And so is she...
Is Margie Baldy?
Is she...
No. No, she used to be money. And then you see the transformation to her.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it makes you feel sorry for women.
She's also bipolar. So, I mean, she had mental illness she was dealing with.
So is she currently in prison? Or
she's in prison.
Yeah, she is.
She's currently taking a dirt nap.
Oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah.
Died in 2017.
I don't even watch the show anymore.
Hey, I got it. I'm good.
It's Cakes, EB, and JP. Bish out on vacay this week, although I don't think he was going anywhere.
I think he's chilling. In fact, I think he was texting Valdez Monday morning at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah, he texted me at 4:52.
He's like, what are you doing? He goes, I can't sleep.
Hold on. I'll read you the text.
That's a tortured existence.
Right?
He was asking if I talked to somebody, and I told him nope. And I asked him, why are you up? Aren't you on vacation? And he says, not feeling well, can't sleep, and my effing dog is barking. and then he said, I just took 2 Tramadol.
Oh, my God.
He's still cranking out the Tramadol.
Yeah, I think it's
kind of his thing.
I don't know why he's doing that, but whatever.
Subsiding the pain.
Yeah. All right. Is Alan there?
All right, join us on the Mattress Warehouse hotline to get back into Caps Lightning as the studio analyst for NBC Sports Watch and our buddy Alan May. What's going on, Alan?
Hey, just recovering from last night, guys, after that incredible game at Capital One Arena.
I know. I saw you leading the Let's Go Caps chant with Locker cool. and Joe B. That was a nice touch by you guys.
Apparently, we were fans of the game, so it was a good moment. Caps are 2-0 when Locker and I are up there. We brought our sidekick, Joe B, with us last night and had a blast.
Let me ask you something, Alan. So what jumped out at me last night, and again, I'm not a sophisticated hockey guy. I'm just a sports fan. But what jumped out at me last night was just the incredible effort, right? I mean, we won in every category. Hits, shots, great goaltending, great passing. And that's the kind of effort, frankly, that I was looking for in Game 5, in Game 3. But maybe it's unrealistic. I mean, I know it's different when you're in an elimination game. But is it asking too much to ask for that kind of effort in the playoffs, like every game?
Well, you know, as I said, I think at the start of the playoffs, even in the Columbus series, there was momentum shifts in every game. And what happened in Game 5 was Tampa got the momentum right off the bat with those lucky bounces. And you know, unfortunate plays by the Capitals that ended up in like 5 errors before they scored on Holtby. And you get that. They got their arena into it. Capital One Arena last night was like I've never heard it before. And the place has been insane over the years. But last night was different. The fans didn't have that uptight feeling where they were holding back. They went for it last night. The people that were there that didn't jump off the bandwagon. And the guys fed off of it. And you look, they couldn't recover in enough time in Game 5. Believe me, you're playing a really, really good hockey team. It has superstars on it. It's got a great blend of role players, a phenomenal goaltender, just like the Caps do. And the Caps decided to create their momentum last night. There were a lot of little opportunities in the first period where, you know, passes didn't quite go the Caps' way, but they didn't have any quit in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I attributed that to their captain, and because he just kept powering through. You remember the one shot in the first period that he had going down the left side, and he went to do a cut-in move on the inside, and they got a stick on it, and then he still bowled over the two guys that were in front of him.
Yeah.
He was just an animal last night. And I just look at that effort, that intensity of him, and then the other guys, you know, the lesser players. How many times over the years have I been on here pissing and moaning, bitching and griping about guys not stepping up? And I was talking about the lesser guys and some of the other stars on this team that weren't there. It was always the big man doing everything. Last night, Devontae Smith-Pelly went next level. Brooks Orpik, who the analytics crowd hates, earned his salary last night. If they can get to the finals, that was Brooks Orpik's best game in a uniform. What a great time to pick to do that. But everyone did their part last night. Everyone just fought through it. Andrei Burakovsky had been under the microscope, under the gun to make better plays, and he was flying last night. He protected the puck. He managed the puck. So everything was going their way last night. And once again, it's not just, you know, mindless conjecture. These guys are to believe what they say. They've got a different feeling in the room, and they're going for it right now.
And I believe that, Alan. I believe they're capable of it, and I've picked them in the last 2 series. But when they have the moments where the bad puck luck or they make a few unfortunate mistakes, and I get it, they're playing a great team. Those kind of things happen. I lose a little faith, though, when they have those moments, those down moments. Is it too much to ask to do that exact same thing over again, you know, tomorrow night? Is it too much to ask?
Well, Well, the other team has a different change. Caps were – Barry Trotz did a great job last night with his line matchups and knowing when to go. I just look at what Barry did last night with adding Chandler Stephenson to the fourth line. He had speed on every line last night. And a lot of people were upset. Burakovsky got a jersey. Burakovsky wasn't there. Burakovsky needs to play a prominent role in this team, and he can't do it on the fourth line the way he plays. So putting Chandler Stephenson down there, everything went their way last night. So you go tomorrow night in Tampa, John Cooper has last change, and you know they want to get their crowd behind it, and the Caps are going to go in there, and they're going to want to play a defensive game. Last night, everybody remembers the hits, but I remember, you know, it should be pretty obvious now, that 1-1-3 stack that the Caps have between the blue lines now, for even the novice fan, about how the Caps are playing defense. And when they couldn't get to a puck last night, they pulled back. When they couldn't win a race, they pulled back and went to their defensive set, and it kept Tampa from gaining speed. So that was their plan in Game 5. Because of that first shift, 19 seconds in, where they gave up that goal, they got behind the eight ball. And then they had a couple of ridiculous bounces after that. You look at the Stamkos trip on Orlov. That went against the Caps. So you start to lose momentum. The refs aren't giving the Caps any help in this series. And, you know, we saw it certainly in Game 5. And then last night, you're wondering, what the hell are these guys doing? And when Ovechkin got cheap-shotted, and then TJ Oshie, I can't remember which defenseman had a stick for about 5 seconds in front of the net. And that's a scoring chance. That's got to be 100% penalty. And I know that the NHL was very upset with what happened last night as far as the officiating, and not that it was in the Caps' favor, that they just weren't making the calls they should have been making, the no-brainers. So you take all of those things into it. You take human error, you take bounces. It's hard to get your own way all the time. So the other team has something to say about it. The rosters are about evenly stacked, and you just got to play it out, and you got to believe you can win and force and create your own turnovers and bounces.
Alan, you touched on the penalties through games 1 through 4, 28 penalties called, 7 per game. Games 5 and 6, 4 total penalties, just 2 per game. Who does the 5v5 favor in game 7?
Caps have been dominating 5 versus 5 the entire time in this series. They've done an incredible job of doing what they needed to do. Their goals on 5-on-5 show that they're the better team. They've been dominating. We've seen them pretty much outplay Tampa every period of this series, and by a large margin. So it has to favor the Caps. So the big thing is sticks on the ice. Keep your legs moving. Your legs will get you out of trouble all the time. You're not playing well, look to your legs. You're taking too many penalties, look to your legs. And that's what the Caps have to do next game. Look to their legs. Create their own power plays and force these refs to make calls when the Caps are inside the offensive zone and getting to the net.
Talking to Alan May, Capitals studio analyst for NBC Sports Washington. So let's talk about Holtby. Gets his first shutout of the season. What did you see different from him versus the previous three games where he'd been struggling, but certainly wasn't playing like he did early in the series.
No, I don't think he was struggling at all the last game. I looked at the goals that were scored in Game 5 as huge breakdowns by his team and putting him in a bad spot. Last night, they made his job easy. He made some spectacular saves. He didn't have to worry about the backdoor garbage. He didn't have to worry about the wide-open power play shots that Tampa was getting. His team played more responsible, and it makes his job easier because now he can just focus on an angle to come out and take those shots and challenge more. He can get out of his crease. He can line up to the center of the shot. And when his team plays a solid defensive game like they did, and the penalty kill was so much better last night, the 4 minutes that Tampa had, and it made his job easier. And he was focused. He never left his eye off the puck. I thought he was very aggressive last night, but you can't do that. It all goes part and parcel. It goes together. Your team has to be playing within the defensive structure, whether it's 5-on-5 or 5-on-4. So the goaltender stands a chance. He's an excellent goaltender. Both of these guys are phenomenal. But there were breakdowns that created goals for the Capitals. And in the series, we've seen breakdowns that have created goals for Tampa. So, you know, everyone is nitpicky on what's a good goal and what's not a bad goal. There's fewer goals scored than ever before. And every goal is a bad goal. Everyone, you know, that worn out cliche of, oh, you'd like to have that one back. Well, wouldn't you like to have every damn goal that goes in your net back? You know, it drives me crazy when I hear that. But I just think Braden Holtby has been locked in throughout these playoffs. He got back in game 2, third period against Columbus. And he was a different beast, and he came out. He altered some of the things that he was doing in net, and I think we're starting to see some copycat around the league as to how he is taking the angle shots. And, you know, he's just playing with confidence. When a goaltender has confidence, it doesn't matter if your goaltender's good, whether you're 5 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old playing the NHL. If you believe in your goaltender, you believe in your team, and that's right now the belief that the Capitals have.
So, Alan, last year they were in a Game 7 in the second round against the Penguins. That was a series where they trailed 3-1. And I don't remember exactly, but I'm guessing you were pretty positive, feeling good about the team heading into Game 7. Is this year different? What do you think?
Well, I wasn't positive going into Game 7 last year because they were playing Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh was in their head, and it shouldn't have been gotten to that point, in my opinion. I didn't like the Caps overall play in that playoffs. I've liked the Caps overall play in these playoffs, and you know, I throw history out the door. This is a different group of guys. The chemistry that they have right now, you have so many new faces on this team. You have the youngsters. You have the throwaway players. You have the older guys realizing this is time. We got to make it happen. And they've got to go in there tomorrow and continue to do the impossible. I remember seeing every Canadian analyst that sits on the desk on the national shows up top on the two major networks, and they were all picking Columbus to go all the way to the finals and play against Las Vegas or Winnipeg. And I look at what the Caps have done. They're not supposed to be here, but they don't believe that. They believe they're supposed to be here, and they believe that they're going to go into Tampa tomorrow night and win a game. And I feel confident with this group of players. I have never, ever felt this way about this group of players, the group on the Caps, that they would go out and just continue to do things. They came together. They've altered. They've adapted. Barry Trotz is putting everything on the line in his coaching career at this point. He's been making changes that he hasn't made. He's been quick to pull the trigger on the changes, sit players out, put players in, adjust the lines, change the power plays. His coaching staff has done a great job. And I just think they've got so many things going in their favor right now that they're going to go in there and look to create that first bounce to score the first goal and hopefully take the life out of the building and take the life out of Lightning.
So, but I thought I heard you say, so I remember when they interviewed him and they said, yeah, we're going to go for it. We're going to make them earn it. You know, we're going to take some chances here, be a little more aggressive offensively. But I thought I heard you say maybe this game will take a little bit of a different tone earlier, right? It's going to be maybe a little bit more defensive-oriented.
Well,
no?
Well, they have to make sure that they don't get caught. But I said going into last night's game, they had to win the game between the blue lines. Mm-hmm. And that was not getting caught. The game before, all three goals were the area of created from between the blue lines. There were transition goals from the neutral zone.
Right.
Last night, the Caps locked it down. So you have to make sure, because of the lineup matchup, they're going to try to get different guys out against Ovi. They're going to try to get different guys out against TJ and Nick. So you have to make sure that you're responsible. There were a lot of times last night, everyone was noticing the hits, but I noticed that there were times when Ovi was going in the defensive zone. All of a sudden, he realized he couldn't get to a hit. He couldn't get to a puck. He pulled back, started skating backwards, and then Kuznetsov would take the lead, and he'd try to drive the Tampa attack to the wall. They'd have to dump the puck in the zone. The Caps did a pretty good job, their defenders and Braden, of getting the puck out as quick as they could, whether it was air mail out high into the center ice area, or it was tape-to-tape passing or a battle on the wall for the wingers. They did a really good job of that. They have to make sure that will have to be the most important part of the game. They can't play the exact same way they did last night. But, you know, when those situations present itself to get on the forecheck, to make a big hit, to chase down a loose puck like Chandler Stephenson did last night, go for it. Use your speed, use your smarts, but stay within the system structure. And if they do that, I've got to believe that they can win Game 7 and win it handily.
Tom Wilson's been flying all around. Has he changed anything since the suspension, or is he just playing the same way?
He's playing the exact same way. He last night on Cedric Paquette, who got the first goal of the last game against the Caps, he did really nothing after that first kabong. I think it was about 10, 15 seconds into the game.
Mm-hmm.
He just annihilated him. He had to go to the bench. He struggled his next shift, just had a few seconds out there, and he wasn't an impact last night. So Tom just continued to move his legs. He's making sure on some of these hits, though, he's passing up, or he's making sure that he's getting a little bit of a grab and cushioning the guy rather than just catapulting him. And I think the refs are not against him because they know that was a wrong call made by the league to suspend him.
Do you expect then, because you said earlier that the NHL was upset with the way the game that was officiated, do you expect them then to maybe blow their whistle a little more tomorrow night?
Well, you know what? Everyone that watches this game and everyone that works in it, certainly the players, the coaching staff, the management of teams, they want to know what a penalty is, and they want it to be called when it is. And they don't want it to be depending on who the players are or what time of the game
right.
It is. It should be, if it's a trip in minute one, it should be a trip at minute 59.
Right.
And the cheap shot on Ovechkin last night, I can't believe that nothing happened because it was right off the face-off. All eyes were on that. Those two refs sat there and watched that. That was absolutely ridiculous. Ovi looked stunned to me. I was worried that he may have been concussed And who knows how he felt, but he didn't show anything, and he never does. He never shows pain. He just continues to go for it. So, you know, I was just flabbergasted at that point, and then the holding on TJ Oshie, holding of a stick for as long as it was in his prime scoring area for a scoring opportunity. I just thought that was garbage and embarrassing for the league last night.
Does Alan May have a special tie picked out for tomorrow yet?
I will be doing the redo of last night. So
nice.
I threw everything in the bag. I'm on my way to the airport right now, and I'm going up the same old, same old.
All right, nice. Very nice. Alan once told me when he was allowed to wear ties every day on NBC Sports Washington, because then they had an edict and you weren't allowed to wear ties, right? But you used to have a routine. What would you do? You would get the tie out like at 4 p.m. or something like that?
Well, that's usually when I started the whole routine of getting ready. So I already knew what I'd wear. And, you know, to me, it's always game on. I did it as a player, and starting in high school, when I got ready for games, it was the same thing. Is you have a ritual, you have a routine, and, you know, we're back at it. So depending, 4 o'clock might be a little too early tomorrow, but, you know, depending on the game time, you just got to go out, get your clothes ready, and once the tie is cinched, it's game on, man.
All right, Alan.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Safe
and
trip,
hopefully
pal.
You'll get more postseason money through the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, that'd be nice. And so will the
Giants.
Yeah,
me wants that. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, pal. Appreciate it.
Yeah, take care, guys.
All right, buddy. Pre-game suit routine sounds nothing like our pre-morning routine when we arrive here.
Yeah, you mean when I wear the same sweats I slept in?
Yeah, we're not laying things out the night before. It just doesn't happen.
He is. He's wearing them from the night before.
That's true. It's different.
I mean, I put on a hoodie.
It's a different sort of hustle.
Same,
I get it.
Same underwear. 100%.
So terrible.
Oh, yeah. Put a fresh pair on right before I went to bed. Then, you know, 8 hours of sleeping and whatever
right.
happened.
Five hours
of sleeping.
Yeah, please.
But really about 3 hours of broken sleep.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.